Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports original on the go
wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
What?
But if he asks for $500,000 more, that's it. Forget it. He's our best player. We want him forever. But that $500,000 is just a bridge too far. Instead of just paying him the $500,000, how about instead of that, let's bring him in with ourselves and another guy, and let's tell him all the reasons why he doesn't deserve $500,000 more than the $3.5 million that we're paying him for this very, very good output and everything else that's been going on here.
That was an asinine thing to say.
What a ridiculous comment. I mean, this guy, it's unbelievable with him. He's unbelievable. Kennedy, I know it's the team. Like, when the team's good, it doesn't matter what the president says, but when you're not, and when you're sabotaging yourself like this, and you send poor Kennedy out there to try and dress it up and put lipstick on it, like, what's he supposed to say, I guess? Like, well, you know, it's we really care about him. We want him. Well, what can he say?
Don't say he's one of the best players in baseball, but we can't give him $500,000.
What are they? Is he supposed to say, well, we're not sure he's that good, so we're going to fight him on this?
So he thinks arbitration is a necessary evil. You know what's an unnecessary evil in Red Sox Nation right now? Cheapness.
Yes.
And I'm sorry to steal your shtick, but it just, by osmosis, has seeped into my pores. Everything that's a problem comes back to one thing, being cheap.
Cheapness.
Like, and this is $500,000. Mm. I would understand millions, whatever, budgets, waste, because I'm fearful of them signing contracts that they'll kind of then throw back in our faces right, for why they can't do other stuff. But $500,000 will never be thrown back in my face.
Yeah, this isn't Juan Soto. You have to go up to $750 million.
It's not even like $20 million for Giolito or $30 million for Bregman or whatever. It's $500,000. Some, you know, Fitzy will insert some clean. They could find that in their sofa cushions or something.
That was
like
a good
John
impression
Henry.
Of Fitzy, I think. Yeah,
screw Fitzy. But, like, it's just, why is he saying that? Like, and I did actually enjoy, though, both of them at some point over the weekend said, I don't know, you could ask Perez about that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Belichick, like, ask Brady why his balls are deflated. I got a lot on my plate. Balls, not one of them.
Can I just say for Kennedy to, say, I understand Cora saying that because it's Breslow's a level above Cora when it comes to these things. Kennedy's a level above Breslow. So anything that Breslow's being told about how to spend the money and who to allocate it to. Just, by the way, Jaron Duran's not the only guy that was coming up on arbitration. There were three other players, I should say. Tanner Houck, Garrett Crochet, and Cutter Crawford. All three of those guys, all pitchers, by the way, but still, all three of those guys were arbitration eligible. And the only one that they had a problem with was the best one. Well, maybe Crochet's better, but like the best one, which is Jaron Duran. They reached deals with Tanner Houck. $3.95 million. That's basically what Duran's asking for. $3.8 million with Garrett Crochet, which is funny, by the way. Crochet's making less than Tanner Houck? Okay.
Isn't that also $1 million more than we were told? Weren't we floated the figure of $2.8 million the whole time?
For Crochet?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Maybe we were. I don't remember.
You know that why that strikes a nerve with me?
No.
Oh, you had to overpay Crochet by $1 million, so now you got to make that money up somewhere, so we'll screw Jaron Duran out of $500,000. Oh, what? Only got $500,000 more to find.
No,
I think they actually look at things on that granular of a level.
Okay,
which I don't care for.
Tanner Houck Cutter Crawford $2.75 million. I'd take that $500,000 away from Cutter Crawford. I hate to say it.
Sure.
And give it to Jaron Duran. Cutter Crawford's a perfectly good pitcher, but Jaron Duran is a superstar right now, and they're not doing it. So They reached deals with three of their four guys. They did not reach a deal with Jaren Duran. Jen McCaffrey over at The Athletic wrote this. She said the 28-year-old outfielder is coming off a breakout season, and he lists all the stats. The agents filed at $4 million while the Red Sox filed at $3.5 million, a seemingly inconsequential difference in terms of baseball money. Well said there, Jen. The sides will likely go to a trial sometime in February where Duran will be present as the team argues he should make less money.
Well, not the whole team. Don't let Kennedy in there.
No, no, no.
Because if Kennedy gets in there, Duran will be like, he just called me the best player, one of the best players in baseball.
Best guy in the league. Best guy on the team. Definitely deserves this $500. I mean, no, we shouldn't pay him, actually.
Line.
Duran was not scheduled to attend Fenway Fest because of a previous commitment.
Mm-hmm. Wink, wink.
But Cora didn't hide his displeasure with the process, calling it kind of a bad process. It doesn't make sense, he said. Duran has been vocal about his confidence and self-esteem issues in the past, and coming off a career season, the team suggested he is not worthy of the salary he asked for could be risky. It's possible the club viewed his homophobic slur directed at a fan last summer as part of the reasoning, but they have not made that known. Asked if it was a good idea for the team to quarrel with Duran over a small sum, Cora said, "That's not my area. You gotta ask Craig. But I think we'll be okay. We'll be okay. I actually texted with Jaren yesterday. He's doing well. We'll see what happens in the upcoming weeks." Yikes. And, I mean, really yikes. Like, Cora sounds like he's not happy about that. I didn't hear him say that.
He lost the right to not be happy. He signed the $21 million deal. He didn't get the assurances that I thought he got at the time. Now he's telling everybody it was just
business. Or he got assurances and they went back on him. I mean, that could have happened too, Andy.
Oh, I guess. Then he needs to be more upset than just, you know, jerking Duran around and whatever else they're doing. This is a much bigger problem.
Sure.
I also have an issue with the homophobic slur thing. If you had a problem with that, then move on from him.
Mm.
If you actually have a, don't shave $500,000 off
right.
his arbitration.
Is that what it costs to do that? Like if you call a fan a terrible word, it only costs you $500,000?
Like,
that's
like
the price?
If he crossed a line that organizationally you can't accept,
right,
then move on from him.
Right.
But don't belittle him in baseball terms, in terms of tiny money. Like,
yeah, we'll show him.
That makes no sense.
$500,000, yeah.
I think this is very simple. They don't want him. Long term, they don't want him. Like, I don't know how you can. If you want him long term, you don't do this.
No.
There's no way you go down this road.
Definitely not.
Burns, others, like this.
You
Burns, bridges.
You extend somebody
this,
like yeah. this if you want him. Yeah.
But you at least don't piss him off. You don't give him reason to want out, reason to hold you over a barrel, reason to make your life or negotiations tougher down the road.
Right.
Like, this is bad business. This is setting a precedent, and the only reason you could do that or would do that is you really don't care. This is a short-term relationship. I don't care.
Mookie Betts was 27 when they traded him, right? Or 26, I forget. It was either 26 or 27. It was around that age. It was around that time in his life. Jaren Duran's 27. And I know that Mookie Betts was an MVP prior to that and the five-time All-Star and, you know, Gold Glover and all the age of 22, 23. So it's not like they had the same career here or anything. I'm not saying that. But they're both guys who were very productive players at the age of 27, considered one of the top outfielders in the league. Duran was last year. Mookie was better than that, obviously. But just for the sake of this argument here, work with me. You're going to be turning your back on another guy like that? Not exactly like that, but kind of like that. Like, that's... How many times are you going to do that? How many times is this team going to look at a super talented outfielder and say, yeah, you know what? We're fine. We're okay. We're going to move on. We're going to quibble with you. We're going to lowball you. We're going to make offers that are insulting. And if it doesn't work out, we're going to ship your ass out of town. When has that ever worked for them?
It hasn't. And I think there's something to what you're saying. In an offseason where Soto got crazy money.
Yeah.
But also, Kyle Tucker was traded, I think, in part because teams are seeing the rising cost of these outfielder contracts. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Red Sox see that. Then they see Soto and they go, oh, this Duran contract's going to go in a direction. There's no way we're going to. And I don't necessarily fault them. I don't know that I'd be looking to give $400 or $500 million to Jaren Duran. Like, I don't see him that. He's their best player.
Sure.
He's a very good player.
Well, that's why you have arbitrate. You do. I mean, you get him at $4 million or whatever, and then you make the decision the next year, and then you go on like that. You have these arbitrations in these seasons where they're eligible for these things, and you don't have to pay them that much. So you take advantage of that. You don't piss them off. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Unless, I mean, my cynical view, I told you, hardo football mentality, like some weird motivational tactic that if he's pissed off, he's going to play better.
Great.
I think it's all terrible, though. I think there's one certainty here. I don't have the answer to any of this. This is bad for their relationship, short and long term. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't want him long term, You've alienated one of your best players.
Yeah.
We talk about leaders. I feel like he kind of evolved into a leader in a weird way. Homophobic slur aside.
Right.
He's the first guy that Cora talks about when it comes to locker room leadership. I know, like, Rob Refsnyder is the second, but it's the first name out of Cora's mouth.
And this team struggles with its hierarchy because the $300 million player does not want to be a leader.
Right.
He wants no part in that.
Right. Also scratched from Fenway Fest or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah, like, you've now alienated a leader, your best player, a plate setter, energy guy that sets the tone for an offense that Cora's already complaining is not as consistent at times as he'd like it to be, and not as good on paper. We've talked about it. Tyler O'Neill, gone. Mm-hmm. You're not as good offensively on paper right now. You need to figure out a way to be better. And, oh, by the way, you may have alienated or pissed off or whatever, muddied the water in your relationship with Jarren Duran. Like, is this a sneaky train wreck offseason?
Kind of.
They got Garrett Crochet.
Garrett Crochet is a good pickup, awesome. So I'm not going to say it's a total bleep up, but it's not good. I mean, you know, unless you love Aroldis Chapman, it's not really good. Or Walker Buehler.
I don't.
You know, like, I like Buehler. I like him more than Chapman, but
Buehler.
But yeah, this hasn't been what I was expecting.
And
I'll
feel like with the thing they did yesterday, and I feel like we're back where we started, where we weren't putting everything on the young guys, and now it feels like we're starting to put everything on the young guys.
Yeah, it does seem that way. By the way, let's take a call first, actually. 617-779-7937 is the phone number.
You pulled a Tucker and interrupted yourself.
I think this call is going to be about what I want to say, so I'm going to let him tee me up here. Sal and Lynn, go ahead. Nope, Sal and Lynn hung up. Well, he wanted to say
that didn't go well.
I know, you got a stage fright.
He's like, oh, I don't want to share my point with him.
Yeah, I'm not going to set this kid.
You're going to say it, just say it. A-hole. What am I going
to
do?
He said that $500,000 could be used to spread out to other players. The Red Sox right now, according to McCaffrey says they're at $211 million. The CBT tax, well, I guess just the CBT, because the T stands for tax, the CBT is $237 million. You're still $26 million under it. Yeah. And they can't give $500,000 to Jarren Duran. That doesn't, I'm sorry, it's not a good excuse. I was going to yell at Sal, so maybe that's why he hung up, if that was going to be his take.
They want to be 26.5 under the CBT, maybe. They have this number in mind.
Why do you want to be under the CBT? Like,
I don't.
Spend up to it if you don't want to go over it.
Now I know how Sal feels. I want to hang up because he's yelling at me.
You got to be $26 million freaking dot. Like, now, you know, they sign Bregman or something, then we'll have a different conversation.
Then they might be over it.
Main guy who I wanted, but yeah, they might be. I mean, that might be where it ends up going, but I don't think they're going to sign anybody that's going to put them over it if they're not willing to give Jarren Duran $500,000.
So I have a weird fascination with closers. I don't know why. I really like closers.
Closers are cool. That's
okay.
Why.
Who's their closer?
Their closer right now, Garrett Whitlock, maybe?
Hendricks? Chapman? Any of them? I have this theory.
Out of those three, I'd pick Whitlock, I mean, if you ask me. But
I have this theory that teams that say their closer's name with a question mark stink. It's just a very simple Andy Hart theory of baseball. And that, like, there's been no talk of that. We talk about right-handed bats. We talk about Bregman. They accomplished nothing there, in my opinion. Now, I know Cora has talked about the pitching depth is much better.
Yeah.
He believes the pitching depth is much better. But I don't know that I feel that it's great. They're already talking about six-man rotation. He was already acknowledging six-man rotation because, did you know their schedule? This may affect you in your future endeavors. Right out the gates, they play a ton of games, but then they get every Thursday off in June and July. Like, they have a set day off every single week.
Yeah, that's not super unusual, I don't think. There's a lot of Thursdays off. I don't know if it's every single week, but yeah, that's...
He made it sound like it was very unusual and that he didn't really care for it.
Oh. I guess every single Thursday is a lot, but Thursday is usually the off day.
Well, yeah, the getaway off day. But what was my point?
They're playing a lot of games, six-man rotation.
Oh, yeah, six-man rotation. Okay. Even he actually acknowledged that. Now, I don't... Way too early for that. We're going to get to the freaking, can we get to, I don't know, close to the start of the season before we anoint any of these pitchers? Like, I mean, is Giolito in that mix? I don't know.
I would imagine.
Maybe we'll see.
Guy had plenty of time to rehab, we'll say that.
Talk about teeing it up, just like Sal. He'll tee it up for opposing hitters.
Sal and Lynn, let's try this again. What do you got, Sal?
Hey, here we go. Sorry, I was in a bad area. So I think we should take this money, that $500,000. Duran's a great player for the Red Sox. When you look at him in the long run, in the league, I wouldn't say he's one of the best. I say we take this money, allocate it elsewhere, maybe in the minors. We don't have the best farm system in the league. I think we take that, we get some of these younger guys.
They do have the best farm system in the league, though, so.
I would debate that, though. I mean, we lost one of our best corner infielders this year. I don't know where he's from. We took him a few years ago. That's a big hit. We're not the best team in baseball. I think that for this $500,000, we could get a few of those overseas kids from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, Sal. Sorry. I don't care. I don't care for that. You can
take a mom-and-pop operation?
Seriously, what? You got to take that money and build up your farm system? Right. Like, that's what we're doing now? How about work on the team that you have here? The farm system's fine. The farm system's overstocked. And maybe it's not number one in the league anymore, but it's probably still top three. Even with Anthony and Campbell and these other guys getting called up, it's still a very, very strong farm system. Okay? There's still a lot of tradable prospects and guys that you can bring in. You can do the international draft and bring guys in without having to spend any of the money that you're looking to give to Jaren Duran.
And they haven't given out massive contracts to anybody for a long time.
No.
And I heard, well, it's because they have a new model and they draft and develop and do all these things. Now he's saying they don't have enough for international player. Like, where are they spending the money? Where is the money going?
You're telling me $500,000 would be better spent stocking up the minor league, which, by the way, is not like you're going to get, you know, like that. That's a small amount.
Right.
You got all these teams. You got the single A, double A, triple A. Like it's a lot of play. It's nothing.
It's a drop in the bucket.
You think that's a better use of that money than paying Jaren Duran? Even if you don't think he's the best outfielder in the league, he's a $4 million player who should be making like $20 million.
And if we're targeting international players or overseas players, as he put it, why are we not in the top 10 in Sasaki?
Good question. Great question.
Where is the money going?
I don't know.
I feel like there needs to be an organizational audit over there. Like, literally, where is it? It's one of these schools. Remember when Brockton was missing like $15 million in their school system?
Yeah, because Wiggy stole it.
Wiggy took it all.
Allegedly.
Head coach, one and done. I feel like there needs to be an... Where does the money go that they're so tight that they got to... And I'm not even the biggest Jaren Duran fan. Like, he became a really likable player because of his energy and his ability and all that. He's had his ups and downs with the fans and everything.
And some plays where he just let the ball bounce to the wall and stuff.
But you're screwing him. You're legit screwing one of your best players.
Yeah.
And you even have callers making up weird excuses for it. Like, what world are we living in? They're being cheap.
Yeah.
Every answer this offseason has been cheap. Why'd they get Garrett Crochet?
Because it was a trade.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Why'd they not get Soto?
Because they couldn't afford it. Yeah.
Cheap.
Cheap.
Why did they get Buehler instead of, like, Burns or somebody else?
Because he was cheaper.
Cheap. Mm-hmm. It's always cheap. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Sound like a parakeet. 617-779.
You made me.
7937 is the phone number. Don't blame me for your parakeet.
I learned it from watching you. Right, Arcan?
Yeah, sure. The Boston Bruins. Looks like they're back, and you have Rich Keefe to thank. We'll get to that next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcan and Hart on WEEI.
First career goal there for Parker Weatherspoon. It's Judd Surratt on the call. I haven't heard this song in a long time. Wow.
I was just telling our producer, Dan, what the song is really about.
Yeah, it's about a school shooter. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pumped up kicks. It's the popular kids with the pumped up kicks, and this guy's going to shoot them, right?
Wait, what?
You don't know this? You don't remember the song?
No.
Pumped up kicks?
Oh, this song was kids with
This song was huge.
Yeah.
You got to outrun my gun. He says it right there in the chorus.
Faster than my bullet.
Faster than the bullet.
And they set out to make a song that if you heard on the radio, you'd be like, oh, this is a real happy song. And you'd dance and you'd sing.
Not happy.
Then you hear it from us, and it's not.
But you know what? It's a
Arcan took
song.
A happy song and made it into a school shooting. You really can't.
I didn't make it anything.
Hey, blame Foster the People.
Foster the People made it the school shooting.
I don't know who that
made.
Is. So.
It's the guy. Well, his name's Mark Foster, but the band's called Foster the People, and this was their, I think it was their only hit. But it was a big hit. Oh, yeah. Like 2012, I want to say, around then. This song was everywhere.
Now, was there this their shtick? Did they have other versions of similar where they wrote a song?
Where it's like a happy song about a war in Israel or something? I don't think so.
It would be an interesting little niche audience thing you could do.
Yeah.
Guess the atrocity in the
meaning
cancer
song. This song's really upbeat, and then you're like, is this about cancer?
Oh, you know, another good song like that, like a poppy protest song, was Zombie by the Cranberries. That's a banger. That song.
And their bombs and their guns and their bombs?
Oh, yeah.
I love that song. Voice and those lines.
Yeah.
I put it on for my kids one day, and they're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, you don't think that sounds awesome the way she says that?
Bombs on their guns, on their guns.
Because it all sounds like one word.
Rest in peace to her, by the way, because she's no longer
dead?
With us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. What's her name? From the Cranberries?
I don't know.
I can't remember her name. But she was awesome, and she's no longer with us. Anyways.
But Rich Keefe is still with us.
Rich Keefe,
that
still with us, despite whoever it was that attacked his mailbox. By the way, he said he saw mail in the mailbox. Like, the mailbox got knocked over, and he went and checked it, and there was mail in it. Have we ruled out the mailman? It sounds like the behavior of the mailman stuff. He's like, and you know what, Keith? Bleep you. And then he knocks it over because he's a big Bruins fan. Could be.
It's a possibility.
Maybe
and he would know the name
right.
And the mailbox. Like,
That's his everybody turf. Know Rich Keith's a draft? Like, I don't think so. I have no idea.
It's an I hate Keith, but I got to do my job kind
right.
of thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oops, it's like, here's your mail. You know? Something like that. Or the thing was already knocked over and the mailman came over and did it. Or there was already mail in it and someone else knocked it over.
Someone else knocked it over.
Was it shoddily upright? Like, was it...
He said it was on the ground.
No. Like...
To begin with, Andy.
Was the post rotting? Was the post loose? Was the...
That's a good question. I couldn't tell you.
Because a snowplow snapped.
When I drove by there to vandalize his mailbox, it seemed like it was fine.
Oh, so you
the one time I did it.
You had the first blow on it.
Oh, yeah. We all go out there every once in a while. I drive over to Keith's house.
You're a Bruins guy. You must hate him.
Yeah, totally. Hate Rich.
I don't know why people hate him. He's potentially ignited a cup run.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think Rich Keefe should be, they should put his name on the cup if they went this year. I honestly think that. Like, you know, scrawl it right in there. Rich Keefe.
Couldn't have
done it without him.
Remember that Brian Cox hit against the Colts that everybody said changed the 2001 Patriots season?
Sure, yeah.
Jerome Paython, maybe over the middle? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Somebody over the middle. This could be the Rich Keefe version. When they do they don't do DVDs anymore, but when they do the documentary,
yeah,
there'll be a huge part, a huge sit-down with Rich Keefe and the role he played in igniting them.
Yes. Now, on Rich's show with Jones, they talked about how after the game...
Is that the name of it? Rich's show with Jones.
It's not what it's called. but on Jones and Keefe, they were talking about what Marchand said after the game. And it was to the effect of, hey, great game by Swayman. Great to see Parker get his first goal. This is good. Didn't mention Pastrnak.
Didn't.
Now, I'm not going to read into that because that's beneath us here on WEEI Afternoons, where I'm going to be for two more days. But
nothing
I will say
me.
I will say that you'd think after a big game like Pastrnak had last night, he was very, very good in that game. Had a couple of goals, I think had an assist. He was
number two star?
Yeah, and he had one goal and two assists, excuse me. Number two star behind Jeremy Swayman, who had 43 saves and was the man last night, which we'll get to that in a second. Pastrnak, very productive, and Marchand didn't mention him. That's interesting.
And also, Pasta in a season that hasn't gone well.
Right.
Very productive. In a season that hasn't been very productive, you'd think his best buddy... you know, they stretch together, they celebrate together, they go to weddings together, parties together. He just happens to post photos on Instagram at 11 o'clock at night of all their fun things they do together. You'd think he might be ready to mention him. I'd also argue if you were trying to sell something,
right?
You were trying to sell a narrative or counter another narrative, you might say something. And yet, nothing.
Yeah.
None.
Interesting. Marchand had a goal as well. Which was assisted by Pastrnak. And the last two goals in the third period were both empty netters, shorthanded. Andrew Peak and Pavel Zaka putting this one out of reach. It's always nice to beat the Lightning. I hate the Lightning. I hate Braden Point. I hate Vasilevsky. I hate that whole team. I've always hated them. I don't hate them like I hate the Panthers. But I do hate something about Florida hockey just pisses me off.
Did you see the seeing eye pass on the Wotherspoon goal?
Yes, yes.
And Vasilevsky was like, no, I hit that.
Right.
Like he thought
that was a nice play.
Deflected that. He even looked up at like, God, what are you doing to me? Like, you let me down there. There's no way that should have gone through.
Yet.
That was an example of a play this team has not made very often this year.
Mm.
I think the opposite of that has happened more often than not. A guy's wide open and you miss the pass. It deflects off and... Somebody whiffed on the other end, I think, to set up that goal, actually. It was one of the rare moments where the other team had the costly, ugly turnover, and it led to a breakaway and a goal there. Are you buying this, these two games?
A little bit. Beat Florida. I have to buy that. I flipped out in the beginning of the year
when they lost
to Florida, so I can't be a hypocrite
now. You have to have a parade.
And then say that, well, they beat Florida, but it doesn't matter. That does matter. Beating Florida matters. And the fact that it took them a while, and I know the Panthers are a little banged up, but that was a wacky game. And they came away with the win. They did enough to win, and that matters. I'm sorry, it does.
By the skin of their teeth.
That Florida team is your boogeyman right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I thought they were going to sweep them right out of here.
Rich Keefe was their boogeyman.
Well, he is now, but it was Florida before that, and the boogeyman was winning. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They owned you. They were in your head. They beat you early in the season in the first 2 weeks, and I flipped out about it. So if I didn't say that this was a significant win over Florida, that would make me a hypocrite. So I'm going to say, yes, it was a significant win. They followed it up with a decisive win over a good Tampa Bay team that they're neck and neck with right now. So, yeah, I think this is something. I don't know if it means they're going to launch themselves up to the top of the Atlantic, but I do think this is something, yes.
Can you bring the fight and the energy that you brought against a team that had a cheap shot cross-check in a previous game recently? Can you do that every night?
Probably not, but once you get some momentum going, I mean, you got Ottawa next. Like, there's no beef with them, I don't think. But once you get momentum going, that's a real thing in hockey.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
And they have not had momentum all year. I even argue when they brought in Sakic and we said we kept wanting
Sacco.
There to be. I mean, Sacco.
Right.
that we wanted there to be momentum. We kind of kept trying to sell momentum mm-hmm. that wasn't really there. This feels like it could be the start of momentum. I'm not all in because I think there's some special circumstances here. I do think Rich Keefe lit a fire on them.
Definitely.
Like, I think you can't do the things they did verbally, Instagram, the team account on Twitter, all of those things, and then pretend it didn't resonate throughout the whole team.
Yeah.
It resonated throughout the whole team. So I think he had an impact on them. Now, it's sad. It's really, really sad
that they need that.
That they needed that and that it even happened. No disrespect to Rich Keefe, but why are they listening to him? Like why?
Why is it not even so much that they're listening? Everybody listens. But reacting
like that? Reacting, yeah. Okay.
Flipping out, calling for jobs, having a little hissy fit there for 3 minutes. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, like, Bill Belichick didn't say, don't hear the noise. He said, ignore the noise.
Yeah.
They didn't ignore Rich Keefe.
Mm-mm.
They did they overreacted, doth protest too much, whatever you want to call it. This is an interesting story to follow. I'm rooting for the Bruins now in a weird way. Even though I think they were jackasses to my coworker, and I'm on Team Keefe the whole way, and I don't think there's a shot in hell. All you ignorant people, oh, he made it up. He did this.
Yeah, like, right.
He didn't make anything up. Could he be wrong? Sure. Everybody's wrong.
He might have got bad info, but he's never gotten bad info from whoever his source is ever before.
It would be bad info from a great source.
Yeah.
And you guys overreact to that, but I'm actually rooting for the story because I want the Rich Keefe victory lap. And that's a weird world for Marchand. It's like, if we keep winning, that guy's going to think we're winning because of him.
Right.
But we kind of need to keep winning or we won't be a playoff
team. Throw a bunch of games and they're like, yeah, nah, kid was Keefe's
I'll show
ball.
Him. And then they're going to trade Marchand because they're out of the playoffs and they're blowing the whole damn thing up.
Right.
Yeah, Rich Keefe's spending a lot of time in their brains right now.
Yeah, and it's working, so good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Mike Vrabel spoke with Tommy Curran on his podcast yesterday. It was a stand-up interview down there at Gillette. Had some interesting things to say. We'll get to that. We have What If Wednesday coming up and a funny story for odds and ends at the end of the show. That's all coming up in the final hour, which begins right after this.